Welcome to Holland Road. So good to see you. If you are visiting with us, my name's David. I'm the pastor here. But it's a great team. And in fact, as a church, we really believe in every member having a ministry, every member being set apart to serve God. And there's no kind of special hotline I have. We all have this amazing access to the throne of grace to hear what God's got to say. So hence, when we gather together, we want to be attentive to Him. And one of the reasons we believe we can hear God speak is because given us His Word, the Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, just raise your hand and someone's going to give you a Bible. And I just want to take you to one verse in it that has been, well, it's actually two verses that have been like our verse for the year. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians end of last year, and then the whole of this year so far we've been going through 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 is our verse for the year. And so I know many of you will have been thinking about it and have it up on your fridges or your walls, and probably a number of us have learnt it. I know the children, a bunch of them have learnt it. Even my little son, who's two, has got a fairly good grasp of this verse. I wouldn't say he understands it all, but he definitely knows. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. Maybe just have that open in front of you. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. Then let's say it all together if we can. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. Everything in love. Let me pray, and then I hope God's going to open our eyes to some fresh things in this. Lord, I thank you for your words, Lord, which are so rich that we can keep plumbing their depths. And Lord, though we've thought about this verse right at the beginning of the year, Lord, thank you for the things you've been teaching me afresh from it. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to speak to us again now through your word. Come, Holy Spirit. We look to you. And Lord, we don't just want this words to be kind of theory or something we know. We want to do these things, Lord. We want them to be in us. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse starts, be on your guard. And one of the great things I've been sort of thinking about how it is that we guard our hearts and how things can be a safeguard for us is as Paul was writing in Philippians chapter 3, he wrote this, and he repeats this phrase a number of times in Philippians, and he says this: rejoice in the Lord. And then he says it's a safeguard for you. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. It's a safeguard for you. That's Philippians 3, verse 1. And I've been thinking about this and just realized that the best way to guard my heart, the best way for us to guard our heart, is to keep Jesus right at the center, just as we've been doing these last few moments. And so that heart for worship, the heart to rejoice in what God has done. And it's very easy to rejoice in tons of other stuff as well, which is brilliant to rejoice in and be thankful for. But the main thing we're to rejoice in is in Christ, in who He is and what He's done. We were just worshiping even before the service started and just thinking about this one who died for us. And He rose again. And as we come into this Easter time, it's a great chance ourselves to reflect again on all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Rejoice in the Lord. It's a safeguard for you. And then rejoice in the things that not just the Lord, who the Lord is, but the things the Lord has done. And then it keeps us giving thanks and recognizing these are all God things. So as a church, we're trying to grow in a number of different areas. We're trying to grow in our upwards relationship with God. Maybe prayer is a particular kind of example of that. And one of the things we've been trying for a number of years to really help the corporate prayer life of the church grow. And you might have been aware that we've moved our prayer nights onto Sunday evening. Maybe you've come along to some of those. I'm looking at and I'm seeing a bunch of folks who have been quite regular at those. And they've been amazingly sweet this year as that's happened. It feels like God's just particularly blessed that. And people have been coming, more people than usual. And we've got one again next week. I'm really gutted because I won't be able to be there. We're away next week at the beginning of the Easter holiday. But please come back next Sunday evening And let's seek God together, because those times have been incredibly sweet. So what's been God been doing? One of the things this year has been putting on our hearts to get together and pray on those first Sunday evenings of the month. But you know, that upward relationship is just one key part of our Christian life. The other is in our outward relationships, our relationships to reach out to others. And one of the thrilling things of this year has just been week after week seeing God touch lives and draw them to himself. And I look out here and see even folks who this year have given their lives to the Lord, have discovered what it is to be at peace with him, to, as it were, know that they're his and he is their Savior. And that just thrills me, because there's nothing more joyous for us as a church than to see folks turn in that way. And so we're going to be hearing a bit more of that in our members meeting, particularly as we hear about what God's been doing in Alpha. But even on Sundays, there's been a wonderful sense of God touching lives. And as our communities go out, and I think one of the wonderful things has been seeing some of the fruit of that in the center as well. So we rejoice in what God's been doing in those things there. But, you know, I spoke recently at our Leaders' Day about some of what it is to be an extended family on mission. That's one of the powerful things that our city needs to see is our love for one another. And boy, that's something we keep needing to grow in. But it's not just a week by week, Sunday by Sunday thing. It's actually about doing life together on mission in a way that others can see it. And it's been great as well. This is something we've been trying to work at, to see some of our communities kind of really beginning to, I think, get this. And it's been exciting to be part of something like that myself. Still something we're journeying in, but I'm so thankful for those I get to do life with. And, you know, as we seek to be an extended family on mission, I think that's something that God's been working in. But here's the thing. Amidst all the joyous, wonderful things, there are also plenty of challenges, believe it or not. Maybe you can experience that in your own walk as well. And so that's why I've found that it's vitally important not just to rejoice in the things that are going well or in how we think we're doing, but to be on our guard, we need to rejoice in the Lord and keep him absolutely central. So this Easter, why not just say, Jesus, please open up my eyes to a bigger vision of you. One of the things we're going to be doing after Easter is studying the resurrection in a bit more depth in 1 Corinthians 15. And one of my prayers this year has been, God, give me a bigger vision of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its implications for me. So be on your guard. That's one of the things that God's been speaking to me about. That little verse is that rejoicing in the Lord is a key way we do that. But there's another way that I've learned since the beginning of the year how we can be on our guard. And this came through a very wise friend of the church, been a member many years, probably maybe even more years than anyone here except probably Sheila Charman. Maybe about the same length of time as Gene Murray and Graham and Margaret. But David Leach grew up in the church. He's now in his 60s and he's been battling cancer. And many of you know him, and I managed to see him just a week or so ago in hospital, and he's remarkable how he keeps digging into the Lord, even in tough situations. Keep praying for him, keep praying for Rita. But you know, I just said to Dave, Dave, you've so often spoken into my life and the life of the church. Have you got a word for us, Dave? And he thought, and Rita joked, now the pressure's on Dave, and he said, oh, no pressure. If the Lord's got something, he'll give it. If not, he won't. A bit like we were talking about this morning. And, you know, he just said, as simple as anything, he just said, yeah, guard your unity. Walk in humility. Just simple word. Because that's how prophetic stuff works, as we were hearing this morning. Just a simple word. But, boy, that's been so helpful. Because, actually, a key to our unity, and praise God, the amazing unity he's given us as a church, as we venture out in mission, as we stand on our convictions and on the truth of God's word, as we seek to press into him and grow more in the areas of church life that maybe we've been a bit fearful of in the past. But you know what? It's amazing to see the amazing unity of the church. But this has really helped me walk in humility. And a little thing that Ali Avard shared with us as a staff prayer has really helped me in this. And it's Jesus, when the prodigal son... The story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 is a picture of God's heart for us. And the father is waiting for the prodigal son to return. And when the prodigal son returns, Ali really helpfully pointed out to me something that I never noticed about the sort of history of that passage. And that's this, that in those days, if someone like that, a prodigal son, returned and having squandered his father's wealth, and you know, the crowd would have gathered at the village kind of gates to mock him, to ridicule him, to humiliate him.
I thought, yeah, I can imagine that actually. And Ali said, and this part I did know, that actually the father is the one who is willing himself to be humiliated rather than the son. He runs, he picks up his kind of robes, which an Israelite father would never have done, a Jewish father, and he runs to the son and embraces him before the crowd can humiliate the son. The father takes the humiliation. And here's the thing, folks, as we seek to walk in humility, we like the word humility sometimes, or at least I do. I think, oh, that'd be great. I'd like to be more, you know, humble. But actually, sometimes we don't like the kind of being humiliated. But, you know, actually walking in humility is willingness to be humiliated, willingness to accept, you know what, we still need to get things right. We're not perfect yet. Willingness to actually say, hey, you know what, I'll identify myself with that person who's broken and struggling with all kinds of things. I'll move towards them. I'll be willing to take the humiliation rather than them. Guarding one another in that way, like Jesus came and kind of put his arms around us and say, hey, it's okay, I'm with you. So be on your guard, folks. Rejoice in the Lord and walk in humility. Those are two of my things on that. And then I want to jump to the end of the verse, because I've been thinking a lot about this, do everything in love, partly because it's connected with what I've been saying there about walking in humility and about keeping the Lord right at the center. And here's what I want to say that's really struck me about do everything in love. And we've been recently hearing on 1 Corinthians 13 just the importance of love. Tim's done these two messages, which I'd really encourage you to listen to, on agape love. And here's the thing that really struck me about that is that, guys, this is an impossible love. This is not the kind of love that is normal. It's not the kind of word that actually everyone, you know, who when they think, oh yeah, love, I get that, I can do that. No, no, this is God's love. This is the agape love of God that is willing to die for people. That's the word here, and do everything in love. It's not everything in just a kind of warm, fuzzy, nice kind of way. Do everything in this kind of agape, sacrificial love kind of way. And guys, that is hard. And that's not hard. That's impossible without God's help. So whether it's loving God as he calls us to, or loving the lost as he calls us to, or loving one another as he calls us to do that, we need his help. We need more of his spirit. And to do that will always take courage. I spoke about that courageous love quite a bit at the beginning of the year. And if you didn't hear that, do go back and listen to the first message of the year. But I just want to say again that word courageous love keeps coming back. Let's be those that courageously love one another. Even when that looks hard, even when that looks like it's going to be costly, let's be willing to, as it were, take the hit for the benefit of others. So as we come to our agenda tonight, and we're going to be looking as a church members after this at some of these different things, let's keep being those who rejoice in the Lord, who walk in humility as we look to guard our unity and guard our hearts. But then also, let's be those that have courageous love, that we cry out to God for more of his spirit, that we might be able to press into the things he has for us, rejoicing in all that he is and all that he's done. One of the things I'd love us to do is just have a time of kind of open praise, of giving thanks, of kind of getting our hearts saying, yeah, God, you've done wonderful things. And I'm just going to invite the band to come back up. But as they do, and maybe they're going to start just instrumentally, I wonder if we could all just get on our feet. And if you feel led, just to pray out a short prayer of thanksgiving. It might be for something, who Jesus is. It might be for something he's done. But let's just lift up our hearts and give him thanks as we kind of come towards the end of this time together. So let's stand together, shall we? And I'll just pray as we get us started. So, Lord, we just look to you. We rejoice in you. You're wonderful. You're our Savior. And, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. Thank you that you, Lord, have brought me out into a spacious place because you delighted in me. Thank you, Jesus.